This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'll be your host today. I am so excited for today because we've got an amazing couple of guests and it's an amazing topic. So I just want to jump right in actually. Here in the studio with us, we have Bobby Hobby.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. But we also have, not from Moravian Falls, but here with us in the studio, we've also got Don Potter with us.
Hello, it's good to see you.
Yeah, so that is super awesome. He is here because next week we're going to be hosting the Imagine Conference. So we'll talk about that later, but I'm so excited for that. We've also got with us coming to us Nathan French. Nathan, you're in the Seattle area, right?
Yeah, I'm actually in Gig Harbor, which is just by Tacoma, Washington, the city of destiny. We're south of Seattle, but I'm just over the bridge from Tacoma.
Yeah, and that's right on the coast, right? Gig Harbor's right on the coast.
Yeah, we're right on the sound.
Yeah, so is it one of your 6 days of sunshine today, or is it?
You know, I think people, say it rains all the time. We actually like the rain, but it's also sunny, and it's the contrast that makes it exciting.
Yeah, and there's something nice about the rain. I mean, I grew up in the Portland, Oregon area, so I am familiar with the rain, but there's something cleansing about the rain, right?
Like the
way the air is after the rain. So we don't want to knock it too much, but so thank you for spending some time with us. Really super excited about this time we've got together with you and with Don. And we want to just jump right in. We've been chatting a little bit before the show and kind of talking about things. And we wanted to dig into this concept of the Great Awakening and kind of how that ties in with our creativity and things. So people love to talk about the Great Awakening, the third wave, this kind of thing. They love to talk about that. But often it's more like, get ready. And it's not so much talking about like maybe what our role is and how God wants to, you know, use us and what our place is in the preparation for that. So right. I think let's just dig right in. Maybe Bobby, if you could kind of lay a foundation for us, and then we'll just go after it from there. I'm excited about hearing from these two guys, you know, their thoughts on this.
Yeah, Chris, you set it up perfectly. It's super easy to just prophesy a great awakening and have no idea how to position yourself or to prepare or to see a burning bush, so to speak, and have that moment to turn yourself aside, even with the Lord, to say, Lord, what's my role in this? How does this practically look for me? And if not, then you find yourself, I think just being a watcher. You get caught watching. Sometimes the Lord is saying, hey, I had better things planned for you, but you got caught being a spectator. And so, yes, today is all about what is my role in the Great Awakening. From the intercessor prophetic standpoint to the apostolic, what does it mean to put apostolic feet to prophetic hope?
Yeah, I love that. I love that. As we're talking about that, you know, Nathan, I know that revival and talking about some of that's stuff that's near and dear to your heart. So as we, you know, kind of start to dig into that, just at the very, you know, high level, what comes to mind as we bring up this topic? Like, what's the first thing that jumps out for you?
Well, I think it's an exciting topic. It's one of my favorite topics, actually, because I know revive means to make new. Awaken means to wake up. And the Lord spoke to me one day and he said, Nathan, and I heard him, you know, it was like, it kind of woke me. It was like, oh, I was awakened to the voice, right? And he's like, Nathan. And I'm like, yes, you know. And then he said, you know, I want you to host an event called Awaken the Planet. And I want you to book the Tacoma Dome. And I want you to do it on this date. And I said, well, what do you want to do? And he said, I want to awaken the planet. And I was like, yay. And I was like, wow. So I started unpacking, what does awaken mean? And it just means to wake up. You know, we used to say, wake up and smell the coffee. Like, you know, it's time to get up. We're not so supposed to be asleep at the wheel. God wants us engaged in this hour. And man, personal surrender brings the surrounding of God, and the anointing comes on that. And so we've been really busy right now, especially because we're preparing for the full manifestation of Third Great Awakening. I've been announcing this now for the last several weeks. The Lord said, announce that the Third Great Awakening is here. You know, you don't have to pray for what you already have. And faith, you know, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But believing that the timing is right now, you can just see it. All the signs are there. The way that the enemy is coming in and trying to create chaos and confusion in the world. And the Lord's like, no, man, I'm bringing what I promised. And so I've been shouting, the Third Great Awakening is here. The Third Great Awakening is here. Wow. It's now. And it is pouring out right now. It's like the Spirit of the Lord is pouring out on all flesh. We're starting to see personal revival. We're starting to see families be revived. We're starting to see what we've been believing for so many years. And it's clearly here. And the enemy is so mad, but he's defeated. You know, I love that God said that every sickness, every disease, you know, he defeated on the cross. Death, hell, and the grave. There's nothing going around in the kingdom. We don't have to fear anything except the reverential fear of God that causes us to draw near to him.
Wow, Nathan, I love that, what you said about surrender. Can you revisit that again? What's God saying about surrender?
Yeah, well, he told me, he said revivals always hinge on personal surrender, because personal surrender, the Lord said to me, you will experience me to the depth of your surrender. He said, basically, I need you to give me all of you in order for me to give you all of myself. And so the Lord's saying, I'm going to surrender these five things. It's like the fivefold ministries gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. And the restoration of the fivefold, he's not forgotten that plan. But if you think about this now, it's also it's like the digit for grace, five, right? But what I love about how the Lord is unpacking the reality of the kingdom right now is people are starting to recognize personal surrender brings personal surrounding. And so if he says, I'll surround you in proportion to your willingness to surrender, he says, surrender all that you are and I'll give you all that I am. And then you'll have a breaker anointing. And we need the anointing to break the yoke, which is the bondage to sin, you know, or we're just kind of going through the motions. And so he wants us to be fully alert, fully awake, be sober-minded, be pressed in, and operate from a place of holiness and purity, knowing that we're the righteousness of God. As a man thinketh, so he becomes. And then we move with bold faith, and we destroy the works of the devil and deliver life and life abundant. It's the plan of Jesus to use everyone for such a time as this.
So good.
Wow. Yeah, I feel the anticipation and excitement on your voice. Like, I just absolutely love it. It's awesome. And I do feel like it's not just you, right? Like, I feel this from other people too. And yeah. And we've even in the last few weeks we've talked about this at least at a high level with you as well, Don. So similar question to you, you know, at the high level, what is your thinking on what we're talking about here with regards to how the regular person that might be listening to this, you know, how it relates to them?
Those are great questions. And that's a great thing that you're talking about in this Third Great Awakening. One of the things that's really been sticking to me a lot, and the Lord has been talking again and again about it, is this: we prophesy a future, or we shout about a future without recognizing the history that's keeping that future from actually happening. And I think what's happening to an awful lot of people right now is our histories, if you will, are what caused or what formed me up until today. That's kept me from walking out this time. We're walking into a time where we're going to have to be, I use the word healthy, I don't know a better word at the moment, emotionally healthy to make it through what's coming, because nobody's, and if 20,000 people stood outside the door right now saying, I want the truth, could we produce it? Or should we produce it? Wow. Unless the Father himself has gone back into my heart and changed who I was to make who I'm supposed to be, actually activated and alive. And that was the key. And he called it, God, he's got some wonderful phrases, but he calls it activating the anointing of your life. Wow. So we have an anointing, but it may not be activated by the Holy Spirit. And so what I think is starting to happen is God is activating some anointings. And that means the Holy Spirit's doing the work, not your anointing, if that makes any sense. The anointing belongs to God, and it goes to him. It always goes to him. And so we have scripture that backs that up with the oil being poured on Jesus. And so if I don't use my anointing, if you will, to minister to people, but use Holy Spirit, that means I've waited until my anointing has been activated. And that's what I think lots of people are. And that's what's coming. There's a tremendous activation going out across the body of Christ. Is it all at once in carte blanche? No, it is crying out to God and saying, you know, lead me through what I need to go through. So to finish this, and to be activated in the Spirit, that when I speak words, they are truth that goes right past all the resistance that's going to be there. Plus the angel that's supposed to be with us all the time that does the actual work, the actual harvest work is done by the angel that's with us. And so we're witnessing of Christ, and boom, that angel reaches over us and touches that person and changes them. If I'm stuck where I was, can I fulfill that? Hopefully I'm answering what you're asking.
No, that's amazing. And I want to ask just a clarifying question on that, because one of the things that we know in the natural right now is, and there's tons of studies on this, especially through COVID and things, that the anxiety level of the people has risen. Right. And some of it's very obvious why, and some of it they're like, I'm not sure why, but overall people are more anxious. Yeah. Do you think that, does that have anything to do with people anticipating this activation of their assignment? Or maybe the Holy Spirit's activating them, but they're kind of used to kind of not being in their assignment, you know?
Well, yeah, I think we are accustomed to not being where we belong. Well, all of us kind of are in that way. We have Jesus in the scriptures. When he first goes into the synagogue, he opens a scroll and he reads, of course, from Isaiah, the Holy Spirit is upon me. I have been anointed to preach the gospel, the good news, and to set at liberty the captive. And so that meant that today the Holy Spirit is activated what I was born anointed to do. And so now he's moving in Holy Spirit activation. And from there, he released or began the biggest revival in all of history. And revival, whatever, is the renewing of things. But the reality of the power of the anointing that's on so many lives, that's either getting spent and then burned out, because the equation to burnout is functioning from your anointing and not from the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And that will burn you out. Then when you're called to do the good job, I know that anyone who's involved with evangelism spends an awful lot of time trying to talk the church into being activated into this gift and into this kind of ministry. And it's a little like hitting the wall, although that's starting to slowly change right now. That's what this activating of the anointing is about. Some people are awakening to saying, I don't know what I'm being activated to do yet. And so now that question is getting bigger. What am I really here for? And that can't be defined by a prophet without the prophet understanding why you're not already walking in it.
Yeah.
Wow.
That kind of tees up this perfectly, in that the title that we put for this was Looking Toward the Coming Revival. Mm. Imagine what God will do with the restored bride.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? So Nathan, as your, like what you were talking about with Awaken the Planet and kind of this, what it sounds like is a very big push, where just stuff is just coming together like it's never come together before. You didn't really say that, but I kind of am inferring that from the way you're talking about it. So as we kind of tie that in, and what Don's been talking about, what you mentioned with this concept of for us to maybe let ourselves imagine what God's going to do with us as we become more in alignment with what he wants, that restored bride, right? So, yeah. So Nathan, first of all, what are you seeing? How does that tie in with this? Because this is a big thing that we're talking about.
It is big. Well, personal revival really actually changes the whole family. You know, a person on fire for God that goes all in, you know, he surrounds surrender, selflessness, sacrifice, submission, and servanthood. You give him all of you, he gives you all of him. It's like, unless you lose your life, you don't really find it. And so what happens is sometimes we'll surrender to God, and then we think that because we surrendered to God and when we gave our life to Jesus, you know, 20 years ago, but it's like, it's a thought by thought mindset of being kingdom oriented and thinking about what is the Father doing? What is God asking me to do right now? But a person on fire that goes all in, because you don't get the fire unless you're a sacrifice. He said, present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing. But then the fire comes on our lives, and then that fire, that flame gets stoked, right? So we become contagious. The fire's meant to cause us to spread the good news, which is super fun, but it's only news if we speak it. And so I love to just tell people, I just went up in the mountains. I was a disciple and a couple of our guys from our church, the Rock Revival Center. And I said, you know what, guys? I said, we're going to believe God for divine nature encounters and that he just has his way with us in the mountains. And anyway, we got up there and some guys got stuck in the snow. We got to help them. And anyway, we invited them into our camp and we ate dinner together. We broke bread together, and come to find out one was, you know, Catholic background. Another one was, he raised up in a Christian church, but didn't know anything about the gifts or prophecy or healings or miracles. Just hadn't been taught about those things. And we got to lead them in prayer. One that received the Lord and got filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in fire and passion. And man, they surrendered. They forgave themselves. They forgave everybody who hurt them. And God just did a restoration of their hope. But it was so cool, you know, just to get to know these guys and after helping them out. And then on the way out, we see two more guys stuck in the snow. I'm in my Jeep. You know, I got this Jeep to have some fun. Anyway, these other guys stuck in the snow, and I go, you guys know Jesus? And they kind of looked at each other and they were just like, yeah, which is no. And I said, guys, you know, I'm going to pray with you, and God's going to do something powerful in your life, because he set this whole thing up. I'm excited. I said, okay, we're going to help you, but first let's pray. Just say this prayer out loud. Just say Jesus, right? Those who call the name of the Lord to be saved. Then they said, Jesus, you know, and I invite you to be my Lord and my Savior, you know, fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit, baptize me in your passion and fire and your Holy Spirit. I forgive myself. I forgive those who've hurt me. And Lord, thank you for the cross. I received this gift of salvation. They got all lit up. They sobered up. I could tell, like, they were kind of like, and then they just got bright-eyed and more alert. You know, it's like the Spirit of the Lord came in and everything else just got shook up. And it was really fun to watch the expression on their faces. So sometimes God will send you, like, I was trying to get away from people. And then more people getting saved and filled, and there was miracles broke out. One guy got healed in his wrist. The other guy got healed in his back. And, you know, the miracles are a dinner bell for salvation, right? So anyway, it's super fun.
Wow, that's amazing. Great. That's completely amazing. Love those Holy Ghost stories.
Amen.
So we're seeing this, you know, where maybe awakenings or revivals of the past were based on gifting. And I can see that by what you guys are saying, God's going beyond just gifting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now he's saying, I am doing a personal revival inside of you. What I'm doing in you, instead of having a gifting that your character can't sustain, I am raising you up on the inside. So it's not just always a downpour from heaven. It's an outpour from a reservoir that you have the emotional quotient or the spiritual makeup to be able to sustain what I put in you. Otherwise, we'll copy what we've done before. And that is something that God does in his mercy is short-lived, and it doesn't last until Jesus comes back. And so this, what we're talking about, is the Holy Spirit saying, don't you know you are the temple of the living God? Don't you know you're that special place? And I get the picture of Solomon's colonnades and all of the gold that lined the inner court in the Holy of Holies. And the Lord says, that has no comparison to what I've created in a temple not made with hands.
Yeah.
And what God's doing in us right now is more important than what he's doing through us.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
So, Don, let's talk about again, sort of high level possibilities. What do you see that this awakening looks like? What are the possibilities to get us sort of dreaming as to what God could do in every sector of society, what he could do in our hearts? If we could sort of paint a picture on maybe prophetically what you've seen. So many people look to Don from his background in music, but if you spent 2 seconds with Don, you would find out how much of a father and prophetic wisdom flows from him, how intricate of a teacher he is. Talk to us about what you see and then what God's doing. You're a student of Revelation and the Four Horsemen. Maybe throw some of that wisdom in. Mm-hmm. What's God saying?
Well, God is playing his cards a little close to his chest these days, and that's on purpose because some of the things are more surprising than we actually probably would want. But overall, there's a great thing that's happening. The Tabernacle of David is a sign of when the rest of mankind, that's called the biggest harvest in history, when the rest of mankind who are called by my name, that means God's already called everyone who's going to get saved. And then there's more because there's writing on the back of the book. That was my favorite. You know, did they run out of paper in heaven and in Revelation? There's writing on the back of the book. It's so sacred that it's sealed, and yet there's writing on the back of the book. Wow. That means more are coming than was originally planned. And the Lord made that quite clear. And so we are in that more who are coming season,
Wow. If
that makes any real sense. And then there were miracles. We have, you know, miracles are coming because that's what, if you remember in Acts 15:16, that was spoken. He said, do you remember what God said about what was going to happen among the Gentiles? They were going to see miracles and signs and wonders. And after that, then they would raise up, God would raise up the fallen booth of David so that the rest of mankind can come and seek him. So what's the raising of the fallen booth of David got to do with the great revival or the great coming? And the reality of it is it's when leadership can be found in sackcloth and ashes before their God. We always believe it was because that's when 24/7 worship and praise and prayer were happening, which is absolutely true. But the reality is of the raising of David's exact temple is that's the one king of Israel that you could find begging God's forgiveness publicly.
Wow.
He never, ever had a problem confessing his mess to God in literally publicly. He was all ready to do that. Then we see Jesus, who was in the Garden of Gethsemane, asking, can this cup pass from me, 3 different times? Well, how did we hear that? The disciples are asleep. Right. Do you know what I mean? Wow. There's nobody with him. He's in there by himself, and he's asking this of God. The only way I know about that is because our King, our Master, was so so vulnerable that he would say, even though I am here to save your life, I still was weak. I still had a hard time. I still was struggling. And every single one of us are right in that same spot. But we're not going to fail. We're not going to not go to that cross. We're not going to not do what we're here for. And even though he was broken and could feel it and sweating blood, so he had to have told his own disciples, the very people he hoped to lead, were the very ones that he confessed his greatest fear in front of. So what are we hoping to do to lead people with this great power? We have great power. No, we have great brokenness given to us by a broken king.
Wow.
It messes with me a lot. Sorry.
No, that's great.
We are there now. We're being offered this minute to be broken before the living God. From that brokenness, God will call in this harvest, and they will come. They'll hear their name because God said, those who are called by my name. How did they get his name? Well, he put it on them before they were born. He put it in their lives, and he's just calling them. That's all he's doing. And he's using the thousands and thousands of ways of doing it. Some music, some calling, some preaching, somebody standing on the street, just standing there, holding a sign. People will fall on their face. This is coming. This is coming in a really powerful way.
Yeah. But
whoever is leading it cannot be led by their power. It's led by our brokenness for that very same God.
Amen.
Wow. Come on, Nathan. I can feel you've got something to tag off.
Yeah. Well, I just love what he's saying. And you know, if we're not broken, it's like there's no oil. We need the oil, right? The anointing is part of the deal, but carrying the glory, it's like God's not just wanting to land on us or just fill us. He wants an inhabitation, not just to give us a visitation. Amen. He wants to land and stay. And so I love just what God is doing on the earth. I'm super excited because everywhere I go, I see people get saved. I see people get healed. I see people, get unlocked, right, to the reality of God. Wake up. You know, it's like, what's he doing? Well, he's reviving people. He's restoring. He's making all things new. He's revealing who he is. It's incredible. And God is, you know, he's pouring out his spirit. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that have been taught to incorporate God, and maybe there's been a lack of intimacy. They learned about him and don't know that they don't really know him as friend, right? But when you know him, when you are intimate with him, when you get quiet with him, when you interact with the friend that sticks closer than the brother, I think about the story of the virgins. Remember, half of them, they had oil in their lamp, and then the other half, they didn't, and they didn't have the preparation and intimacy. And I feel like God's saying, you can't borrow somebody else's oil. You got to get intimate. And some people are intimidated because they're sin conscious and they won't come to a holy God. But when you know that he's like calling you as you are, like saying, come, you know, to me, you know, you who are burdened and weary and heavy laden. And yeah, I remember that song, you know, I Surrender All, when Billy Graham would do the crusades, and that's such a well-known song, and people would come and the altar call and respond. And, you know, I just see people dancing on the streets in this third great awakening. I see people coming out of the schools and saying, you know, we're not going to be duped because we know the Lord. We know the God of the Bible. And because we know him, we can't be fooled. Because we hear him, we aren't going to bow down to some graven image. We are here to literally just shine for God. And when you're on fire because you're all in, you can't help but carry the flame and burn with the passion and the zeal of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the oil is full because we've spent time with him. I love that scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Mr. Potter just shared a portion of that. It says, if my people, that's Christian, if my people who are called by my name, that's Christian, would humble themselves so they can pray. Because humble people pray. Prideful people do not pray. They ask somebody else to pray for them because they don't want to. They want to borrow somebody else's oil. And so, you know, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves so they can pray and seek my face, that's intimacy, not my hand, what I can do for you. It's like we come to him selflessly, and he responds to that, you know. And then he said, if we would turn, right, that's repent, turn around. Turn from our wicked ways, not just change our mind, change our direction too. Yeah. You know, because if you just change your mind, but not your direction, then that's not repentance. So, you know, anyway, he says, you know, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, I will hear. That's a court case, means take the case. I will hear in heaven and I will heal their land. And we need the land healed. We need the right people in office. You know, Jesus is literally excited to remove wrong people that are out of position with the will of the Spirit and put right people in. And that's what's happening. We're starting to see the shaking, the turbulence, even in the realm of the Spirit. We're seeing the shaking of what needs to be shaken up. And the unshakable things are going to be what remains. And I love this about the Lord, you know, that he is the great, you know, shepherd. He is the chief apostle, right? He is the great prophet. There's nobody like him. You know, he's the evangelist. He's the mightiest evangelist. He's the good shepherd, the pastor, and he's rabbi, you know, rabbi, his teacher. So he's all five of the fivefold. Yeah. And he said, I'll surround, surrender, selflessness, sacrifice, servanthood, and submission. Give me all of you. I'll give you all of me. And together, we will take our assignment seriously and say, God, what part in this do you want me to play? And then because nobody's trying to get credit for anything, we just want to glorify God in our unique gifting and value one another in love and just walk in grace where we're not getting offended by everything and not being deceived by every wind of doctrine, because we've got our own intimacy. We received our own oil, and now we're speaking it from the rooftops, shouting the name of Jesus. There's no other name by which we must be saved.
Right.
Come on, let's go.
Wow, yes. Nathan, on that wave right now, I just want to ask you just in a minute to just, I want you to pray for people who know that God's calling them to surrender right now.
Yeah.
They understand it's a bit fearful.
Yeah.
And in many ways, it's the toughest battlefield that they'll ever be on, is to surrender their lives into the hands of a God who has them anyway. But because fear can get in, and we try to own our stuff and all the different millions of ways or reasons why we don't surrender, I'm hearing that in order to posture ourselves for this great awakening, that it has to be filled with courage. And one of the greatest ways that we could walk in courage is to yield our lives to God. Yeah. And so would you just lead us in a prayer of surrender right now?
Yeah, yeah. Just say this. If you're listening right now, it's not an accident. You know, when you pray this prayer, something is going to happen inside of you in the realm of the spirit. Just pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I receive you 100%. I give you all of my life. I hold nothing back. I give you all my hopes, my dreams, my fears, my failures, everything, past hurt, remembrances. Lord, I give you my whole life. I declare and decree that I'm all in. I am yours. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your passion and fire and your Holy Spirit. I receive it right now. I can't do this on my own. I want you to do it in me and through me, God. Let rivers of living water pour from my innermost being. I forgive myself. I forgive those who have hurt me, known or unknown, through the blood of Jesus. And I silence and I hurl down the accuser's voice in my life. I will not respond to the stranger. I will respond to my good shepherd. Yeah. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint them, that you would appoint them, that you would fulfill the purpose of every destiny, that you would unlock their inheritance, that they would walk in the favor and the grace to advance your kingdom like never before, because the third great awakening is here. It's now. We say yes. We receive it by faith. We pray that, God, that the church, that the gates of hell have tried to prevail against in this hour, Lord, that it would rise up and shine brighter and hotter than ever before, that every single person would recognize their God-given calling and purpose in the function of the body of Christ, and that we could see this group of people across the nations of the earth rise up in boldness that comes from being in right standing with you. Mm. We repent and we confess all sin, known or unknown, through the blood of Jesus. Yeah. And we thank you, God. Wash us now. Cleanse us now. Yeah. Break every chain of addiction, God. Yes, Lord. We confess all sin, known or unknown. We ask you, God, break the cycle of every generational curse. Remove the damage of the stains and the pains of the past, and restore us in right relationships so that we can work together, lifting up the name of Jesus, so you can draw all men and women and children unto yourself for this third great awakening. We receive it. We thank you for it, God. Awaken the planet, restore the nations. Yes, here we are. Use us for such a time as this, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's go. Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
This is good. Oh, I feel the glory.
Amen.
Come on.
Let's get all the way here, man.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Wonderful.
Wow.
he's got it real bad. You got it real bad.
Yeah,
that's real good.
It's contagious. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Explosions of your fire all over the planet.
Yes.
Explosions of your fire. Lord, the one who's caught in depression, who's just being rearranged and changed right now, and hope is hitting them like a bomb, like an explosion around them, getting caught in the shrapnel of the kingdom right now.
Yes. Yes.
Come on.
Yes,
let's
Lord.
Go.
It felt a wave when you said to break addiction. That wave, that was like it comes waving across. That's definitely waving across the land right now, breaking addiction.
Come on.
Let's go. Man.
Man, you know, I'm seeing, you know what I'm seeing is the Lord's healing people because they just forgave themselves and forgave others. So the devil has lost a legal access point to bring afflictions and addictions and strongholds. I saw little strongholds being snapped and the Lord was breaking cycles of past hurts and remembrances like clay pots. I saw him smashing these little clay pots. You know, he's the potter. And I'm seeing like people getting healed. So we just release the healing of the Lord right now, all over necks, backs, be healed, restored kidneys right now, be released, cancer, get out of that woman's body right now, in the name of Jesus, feet, you are healed in Jesus' name, by the stripes of Jesus, neuropathy, you are canceled in the feet right now, Lord, I thank you for new knees right now, we need you, Lord, we're asking right now for that diabetes issue to go, in the name of Jesus, diabetes, hypoglycemia, get out of those bodies. Blood sugar levels, I command you, be normal right now in the name of Jesus. That throat, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Migraines, you are canceled. It's not our grain anyway. It's God's grain. We just release that to you. Thank you, God.
Come on. Let's go.
Yes. It is not migraine.
Boy, that's a good one.
Come on.
I love that.
Nathan, it is just it is always so awesome. One of the things I love about getting you on a podcast is you're not sure where it's gonna go, but it's gonna go someplace good. Like you know that for sure. You know that for absolute sure.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. So I think we have just like 2-3 minutes left. I'd love to just pivot over and talk about this amazing opportunity that we've got coming up the 28th and 29th of May for the Imagine Conference. So, Bobby, could you just take 30 seconds, give us a high-level understanding of this conference because it is not like anything else out there. It's definitely different on purpose. Don and Christine will be speaking. You guys are going to be speaking. So can you just like lay a foundation for us?
So the conference is called Imagine. And so imagine a mind renewed. What does it look like to think the thoughts of Christ? What does it look like to dream with God? And then what does it look like to completely innovate something on the planet that's never happened before? When David was releasing a tabernacle with no veil so that everyone could experience the glory of God, he brought it to the Lord. And the Lord... It wasn't like the Lord said, David, I want you to build this tabernacle. That was in David's heart to do. And God said, David, that is in your heart to do. David said, hey, we all build these houses. Where is a house that you will dwell? And it's like this Isaiah 56 question that comes out of nowhere. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where will you build a house for me? And David catches on to that cry for God to find a place. And really it was a prophetic cry of what it looks like to for God to come inside you and me, his favorite place to dwell. But the neat thing about it is before David started something on the planet that had never happened before, he went back to Gibeah and sacrificed at Moses' tabernacle. And that is because you can't bring the new without honoring the old. And so we're seeing what God's done in the first great awakening, the second great awakening. We are honoring what God's done. And now the cloud of witnesses are cheering us on. And they're saying, go, run with this vision. Even what we started is not complete apart from you. So we feel this baton being passed on. And on that level, and you could feel the spirit of faith and expectancy, even in this podcast, we're starting to imagine with God what that's going to look like, what that renaissance is going to look like, what that reformation is going to look like, what the third great awakening is going to look like. And it really takes a mind renewed, being emotionally healthy, being willing to go there in a safe place of heavy presence. And that's what this conference is all about.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I want to hear from Don for just a minute. But before we do, Nathan, your thoughts on this thing coming up. I know you're not going to be able to make it to attend this one, but I just feel like there's a message that you have for people regarding this conference that's coming up.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I mean, you know what? I know that the Lord is going to show up. Anytime we lift up Jesus and he's calling us to come together, there's always something that's deposited in the realm of the spirit. You know, you guys have a strong lineup. And, you know, is this one, is Alan in this one?
No, this is the one with Don and Christine Potter and Bobby and Becky.
Oh,
and this okay. is like the purposely loose agenda, so we can really be listening to the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know what? I mean, Don, you know, I see new songs coming. I mean, you've written so many songs, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, I just see like I see a whole nother wave of songs. Actually, I'm seeing like young people coming because they followed your music and parents that loved your music. And I see like that next gen actually coming and adding some of those lyrics that came right out of the spirit, right out of the glory. And then I see like a choir of angels that are going to champion those who will sing and even create fresh songs under your leadership. So I feel like there's a new sound coming, if that makes sense, even being released for that special event, because you and your wife are powerful. You know, I see just this powerful apostolic grace to raise up the next gen, and the heart of the Father is in you. That's the reason you feel deeply, and experiencing the Lord in an encounter is what's going to be released at that event.
Come on.
Wow.
Come
on. Wow.
All right, Don. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited.
Yes, exactly. Well, you are, I mean, I use the word right. I guess I would use that word. And that's a lot of the things that have been happening. I have written a lot of songs and done a lot of things. And in the past few years, of course, feel to that time in life where you're old and you don't have any real reason to get in the way any longer. And then the Lord said, well, I'll be the one that makes that choice, if you don't mind. And so we... He says this interesting thing to me one time, your small change in my pocket and I will spend you as I see fit. And so I know that this is the time when God will spend us being willing. And we use the word willing. It's way beyond being willing. You can, I mean, there's a lot of things that are willing. It's now it's waiting is at this point is active. Yes. There's a power on waiting on God at this point in time. And there's also a song of the spirit that's coming, which is a lot of what this Imagine is about. This there'll be lots of songs of the spirit, in the spirit and of the spirit at this hour, because the Lord is singing for this minute. We hear something from history or we see something for the future, but what is the Lord saying this minute to this people, this time? And that's the song God's been trying to release. I think that's the new... I have too much on that subject, but the new song is a wonderful thing. And it's, I totally agree with you. And it is coming and it will be, it's the sound for the short version. It's the sound that calls the lost to their rightful place in the kingdom.
Yes. Come
it's,
on.
It's, that's the sound of the come new, on, the new sound.
Wow. Come on.
Don, I've been about 10, 15 minutes ago. I was hearing that song. Now is the time to worship. Explain why now? Why? What the kairos on now is the time to worship? You wrote a song,
yes,
called that.
Yes.
What was God saying to you when that hit?
Well, the biggest issue was we have not recognized, we as a body of people have not recognized, of course, the importance of worshiping God. And it's the same thing we were just hearing, you know, as Nathan is praying, my head is coming off because he is like praying this moment's time in the power of what that prayer is going to do.
Come
and
on.
That's if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. And the same thing is happening now with this next season of praise. We have praise, but there are seven meanings of praise, and one of them is to confess my sin in front of God. That's called praise in the Hebrew.
Wow.
And then the next one is, in spite of the circumstances I'm living in, I raise my hands in surrender. Isn't that interesting? That's, I mean, there's someone more powerful who's holding a gun on me, and I have my hands raised.
Wow.
And so if the enemy walks in and says, stick them up, I said, can't get past the first one because the first one's got me stuck up already.
Wow.
And so when I raise my hands, I'm actually surrendering to God, not in the sense that we think of surrender, but in the sense of your power is so overwhelming to me, I surrender to it.
Wow.
Because that power is greater than any power on the earth. And then the next thing is just to shout his name and to shout the victory. And then, of course, the wonderful one of being clamorously foolish and shouting and dancing before the Lord to really reveal that I am dancing on the neck of my enemy. Wow. When I am worshiping God with that kind of with that sort of praise.
Come on.
And so there's so much to it. Those things are now. Those are coming now. They're coming real now, not in a short period of time. They're coming right now, and God is using it all over the world, I think. So
there's never been a more relevant time, a more now time to worship the Lord, to worship him with your life, to worship him with all that you are. There's never been a more relevant, poignant time in your life to surrender. Now, right now, is the time to worship.
Yeah.
And I really like the way you're saying that a now time, because I think a lot of times people are like, okay, I want to be ready for that. And it's at some time down there. Yeah. And I just hear this, you know, throughout the, what you all three of you guys have been saying, I just hear this, hey, it now is that time. This is that, like, this is that kind of situation. So, we are out of time right now, because time is moving, right? So this is all amazing. Nathan, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's just so incredible to have you on. I really am excited about what God is doing with this Imagine Conference, but also the stuff that you're talking about. We need to stay connected and dig into that more as well. But just thank you for pouring into the audience and everything. We just really appreciate your heart and what you bring. It's so incredible. And Don, thank you also. We love having you in person. So this is really awesome. We're just really excited about it. I just want to mention to you guys that are watching this right now, you have time to register for the Imagine Conference. It's coming up May 28th and 29th. And if you're watching this sometime in the future and you have not yet, you're just seeing this and you're like, oh, that was 4 years ago. Still go register for it. You'll find the link in there. It's still available. The content will be available for you. And I guarantee you, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can tell it's going to be amazing. Yes. So you're not going to want to miss it. So definitely take a second, register. There's in-person tickets. There's very few of those. So you want to do those. They're only $99. You can also watch from anywhere in the world for only $59 per ticket. And both of those give you forever access to the content. So it's an amazing deal. You don't want to miss it. Nathan, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Don, thank you for being our
love
guest.
Love you guys. God bless you.
We will see all you guys next time. Thank you so much, guys.
Keep us in prayer for the big event, guys, the stadium event, August 14th.
Absolutely. August 14th, absolutely.
Okay. And hey, are you working on a book by any chance?
Yes, I'm getting ready to launch it next week. It's called One. It's so powerful. It's all about unity for the harvest and why God commands the blessing on unity. And so Awaken the Planet's theme this year is that we would be one as Father and Son are also one. And so we're so excited. Sean Foyt's coming. He's doing Jake are doing worship. Well, he's coming to preach. I actually specifically am asking him to speak. He has a word for the nation. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Cindy Jacobs, Sean Foyt. We've got a bunch of ministries working together. Compassion to Action, Let Us Worship. Right. Awaken the Planet. It's going to be incredible.
Come on. Wow. So y'all need to go to that event, be a part of it.
Amen.
And then also get this book. I just prophetically felt the emphasis on that book, One.
Let's do it.
So go get it.
Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
Thanks, Nathan.
Blessings. See ya.
Bye.